So the big question is this. How are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, we're spending money from our own pockets. How do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Saturday. I hope you guys are pumped to be here. I'm going to wait for a few minutes while we're getting everybody to get on, but we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. The last couple days, we posted on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere for you guys to ask me your Q&As, what questions you had about all sorts of stuff, marketing, business, living in a corona age, and a bunch of other stuff. And so I've got the questions here, and I got answers, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm pumped to be hanging out with you guys today and going through some of this stuff. And so that's kind of the game plan. It should be a good time. So while I wait for everyone to jump on, I'm curious how you guys are doing. How are you guys all surviving this the last 2 weeks? I feel weird because I've been going live with you guys every single day talking about the book launch and everything else like that. But I'm taking a break from my regularly scheduled programming to talk about some other stuff. And so that's kind of game plan. Hopefully you guys are all doing well. We're doing pretty good overall. I think it's been probably the hardest on our kids. They, especially one of our kids, is so social. He wants to be out talking and being with friends, and we feel like such bad, you know, like the bad guys not allowing him to because of, you know, the whole quarantine thing. So anyway, we've been having fun this morning playing with them and all, and we're going to go play with them here in a little bit as well. So anyway, excited to be hanging out with you guys today. And like I said, this is not going to be talking about the book today. Although if you haven't got a copy of your book yet, you should totally go to TrafficSeekers.com. But that's not the point of today. Today, I'm going to be doing some Q&A. And so I got a bunch of questions you guys have been submitting. You've submitted them. We've got questions coming in from Twitter, from Facebook, from Instagram, even LinkedIn, which I don't know how to log in LinkedIn, but there's questions coming from LinkedIn as well. And so I'm going to go through these with you guys today, which should be a lot of fun. So before we go into that, though, I've got three things I want to talk about that I think hopefully will help, because I know we're still in such a time where people are just not sure what to think and they're nervous, and I get it. In fact, today I was just getting messages from a lot of the companies that I normally go to all the time. They're like, hey, we're shutting our doors, at least for the next foreseeable future, and we're hoping we can come back, but we have no idea if we'll be back or not. And it's like, oh, like that feeling of just like, it's scary. And so I want to give you guys some peace and some hope and some understanding and hopefully help you guys feel comfortable with whatever the worst case scenario might be. So that said, I got three things, a quote, and then we're going to Q&A. Does that sound like fun? All right, that's the game plan. So I'm going to start with the three things. So number one, I had a friend a couple years ago named Dr. Chad Woolner. In fact, I think I mentioned him in almost all the books. Chad is a great guy, and I remember one time, after he had started his chiropractic practice, he had been working for a while, and it was just not going very well, and it was a point where it was about to just implode. I remember he called me that night, and he was like, he's like, I'm in a bad spot. I need help. And I'm okay, I can help. He's like, can we just talk? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I went over to his practice and we sat down, and I think he was waiting for me to be like, all right, Chad, here is the magic secret. If you apply this said secret to your business, you will be a bajillionaire and everything will go away. And as I listened to him longer and longer and longer, I could tell by the way he was talking that he was so scared of what could happen that it froze him from moving forward. Okay, and I'm sure that a lot of you guys are in that spot right now where you're like, you're so scared of what could possibly happen that you're scared to move forward, right? How many of you guys feel that way right now? I'm curious. And it's okay if you do. Like, that's a total normal human response. Like, that's not something to be ashamed of or anything. Like, that's how, that's, you know, all of us will get that, myself included. And as I sat there listening to Chad that night, and I was trying to think of what kind of advice could I give him, I asked him, I said, look, for you to be able to move forward, you have to be completely okay with the worst case scenario. You got to be able to look at that and be like, look at it directly in the eye and say, that's the worst case scenario. I'm okay with that. So I asked him, I said, what's the worst case scenario if your practice fails? And I don't remember off the top of my head all the stuff he said, but you know, he said things like, oh, if I did, I'd have to lose my house and I'd have to go bankrupt. And then like, you know, what would my family think? What would my in-laws think? What would the other chiropractors think about me? And like, he started going through all the things. And so we sat down with a pad of paper. So, okay, all the worst case, like worst case scenario, write those things down, write them down. We looked at them all and then we started going through them. So, okay, is that really that bad? Okay. I think a lot of times we have the worst case scenario running through our heads and there's little pieces and it seems so alive and vibrant that we're like, ah, and so we try to ignore it. But this way, it forces you to write it down. You write it down. Worst case scenario, what does that actually look like? And then you got to look at that directly in the eyes and be like, I'm okay with that. And we started going through this list one at a time. Like, okay, worst case scenario, you lose your house. Why is that such a big deal? It's like, well, I love my house. I'm like, yeah, but like, there's tons of houses. Like, you lose it, you get a new one. Like, would you be okay if you had to get a new house? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, what about the next thing? And we went through thing by thing by thing. And after we got through all of them, he was like, oh my gosh, like, I kept in my head it was such a big deal if I lost all this stuff. And in reality, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I'd be okay. And as soon as he became completely okay with the worst case scenario, it was like the handcuffs broke off his hands. Now he was able to move forward because he could risk. And if he risked and failed, it didn't matter anymore because he was okay with the worst case scenario. So for all you guys, the first thing I would tell you is like, you've got to figure out what is your worst case scenario. And you got to be able to look at it. Like, it needs to be written down so you can see it. Look at it and say, I'm okay with number one. I'm okay with number two. I'm okay with number three. And because as soon as you do that, it'll unlock you the fear, unlock the frightening, you know, all those things that are keeping you back, and you can start moving forward. Okay, so that's the first thing I want to share with you guys. Number two, right now, as you know, there's tons of companies that are shutting down, and which means like the business owner who's risked all their time, energy, money for the last, you know, however many years are losing things. The employees of those people are losing things. I think, again, it comes back to this worst case scenario, but the worst case scenario in those situations are I'd have to declare bankruptcy, I'd lose my entire business, I'd lose my livelihood. And I want you guys to understand, and I'm such a big founder of George Washington and the founding fathers. And when they came to this country and they set up the nation, they set up the Constitution. And one of the greatest gifts that our founding fathers gave us as entrepreneurs were the bankruptcy laws. I think so many times in our mind, we're like, oh, if I go bankrupt, I lost everything and like my life is destroyed. And it's like, no, you don't understand. These were a gift from God, a gift from our founding fathers that was given to us so that us as entrepreneurs, we could try things and we could risk. And if we failed, it wasn't like, oh, you failed, go lock yourself up and you're in jail for the next 50 years of your life. Like, you fail, you get a clear. It's a reset. You can reset and you can come back and do it again. I can't tell you how many of the hyper-successful people I know that have gone through one or two or three different bankruptcies. And I just want you guys to understand that, like, because I know that there are going to be so many of you guys who go through this process that are, like, it's the worst case scenario. It's going to happen for some people. Some of you guys listening to my voice right now are going to go through bankruptcy. You're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your house. And it's going to be like this scary thing. And as long as you, again, number one, look at it at the worst case scenario and be like, I'm okay with that. And then number two, looking at like the bankruptcy, be like, look, this is a gift. Like, I'm able to reset and start over. And like, and look at this as a new beginning. Like, if you have to, like, hopefully you don't have to. Hopefully the things we've been teaching you will keep you from that. But I want you to understand that if that has to happen, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. And so those are the first two things I want to talk about. Because I think so many times we get so scared what could happen that we just freeze and we don't do anything. And I need you guys to unfreeze. Okay, your people that you're serving need you. Your employees, your staff, your community, they need you to unfreeze. Okay, and so if the worst case scenario is keeping you from moving forward, we need to look at that straight in the eye and be okay with it. Be okay with bankruptcy. Be okay with losing your house. Be okay with that. Whatever those things are, you got to become okay with it. It's funny now that, you know, we've been in such a positive time since the last crash. And how many entrepreneurs do you know who are like, man, you know, 2008, I got destroyed. I lost everything. Lost my house. And it was the worst, most painful thing ever. But I became smarter. I reinvented myself. I learned more. Now I built this amazing company over here, right? The same story is going to be happening now. Okay, if you want the happy ending, you got to go through the turmoil. You guys, if you've gone through any of my books or my training, you know the hero's journey. We're in the middle of it, right? We're going through the journey of transformation right now. And now is the time for all of us to start transforming, right? It's time for us to become better, become smarter, become the people we need to be able to serve our community. So, all right, last thing I want to share before we go into Q&As. I actually heard Rachel and Dave Hollis on their podcast share this quote, and I was like, this is amazing. And I found it, posted on my personal Facebook wall. But I want to read it to you guys as well because this should give you peace. It did for me at least. After I read it, I was like, huh, all right. And it was just like this release. And so I want to give this to you guys as a gift. And then we'll move into Q&A. Okay. So here's the gift. So this is from C.S. Lewis. And this was during 1948. So it was the peak of, was it World War II? The atomic bombs, all that stuff, right? And so they were living this A-bomb, the atomic bomb age, and everyone was freaked out and scared to death to do anything. Again, they were locked up because they like, if a bomb explodes and we all die. And this is a quote from C.S. Lewis, who, by the way, C.S. Lewis is the man, in case anyone's not sure, but he is amazing. So this is a quote he said, speaking about his time, his age. And I want you to listen to this with ears of like, this is like my time's different, but man, it's the same. Okay, so here we go. All right, from C.S. Lewis. it's called On Living in an Atomic Age, which is why I titled this Facebook Live, On Living in a Coronavirus Age. All right. In one way, we think a great deal too much about the atomic bomb. Insert coronavirus. How are we supposed to live in an atomic age? I'm tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or as you would have lived in the Viking age when the raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night, or indeed as you are already living in an age of cancer, an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, an age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented. Insert coronavirus. Before the coronavirus was invented. And quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. We had, indeed, one very great advantage over our ancestors, anesthetics. But we have that still. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to the world which already bristled with such chances, in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we're going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb or by a coronavirus, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things: praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts. Not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies; a microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds. Oh, I got chills again. What? That is the best quote you guys have ever heard. It is amazing. So I hope you guys read that. If you search C.S. Lewis, Living in Atomic Age, you can find it. You can read it. You can print it out. Read it to your family. Read it to your kids. If you go to my personal Facebook profile, not my business one, but like my personal, like Russell Brunson one, I post it on the wall there. You can see it there. Copy and paste it. Share it, please. Like the more, like this is the kind of messaging that people need to be hearing right now, not the garbage that's supposedly on the news. I actually have no idea. I don't know how to listen to the news. So yeah. Anyway, should I read it like with the coronavirus in there? I'm gonna read one more time with the coronavirus in there. In one way, we think a great deal too much of the coronavirus. How are we to live in a coronavirus age? I'm tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or as you would have lived in the Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night, or indeed as you are already living in the age of cancer, an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railroad accidents, of car accidents, what are the other things we're dealing with? An age of motor accidents. In other words, we do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or dear madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the coronavirus was ever invented, and quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways anyway. We had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors, anesthetics, but I say penicillin, or I don't know, whatever. But we have that still. It's pretty ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of a painful and premature death to the world which already bristled with such chances, and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we're going to be destroyed by the coronavirus, let that virus come when it comes. Find us doing sensible and human things: praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting with our friends over a pint and game of darts. Not huddled together like frightened sheep, thinking about viruses. They may break our bodies; a microbe can do that, but they cannot dominate our minds. Oh, so good. C.S. Lewis, told you he's the man. All right. Hopefully I give you guys some faith and some hope to keep on going today. Okay, you guys ready for Q&A time? So I got a bunch of Q&As that came in about all sorts of stuff from Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. So my team went through a bunch of them, found some of their favorite ones, and so I'm going to try to answer them live right now with you guys, if you're okay with that. You guys okay if I over-deliver? Just want to make sure, because I can go back to bed. You guys okay if I over-deliver? Everyone's cool? All right. If you're okay with that, I'm in. Okay, here we go. Question number one from Twitter. This is from @ManuelMarcino. He says, I know you say that sales funnels work for any niche, product, or business, but according to your experience, what would you give your top five niches where you can skyrocket sales? Doing it correctly, of course. Thanks in advance. Okay, so sales funnels work in all businesses, but what are the best ones? Okay, this is really simple. When I look at businesses as a whole, I break it down to a couple things, right? There's businesses like at the top, and it breaks down to a couple of things. There's like the product-based businesses, like people selling products. Then there's like the service-based business, which are people selling services. That's like the first tier, right? So of all businesses, are you selling a product or are you selling a service? Then underneath that, it breaks down to like, okay, if you're selling a product, is it information products? Is it physical products? Is it, whatever, like you have a couple of different types of products. Then services, what kind of services? Is it a software as a service, right? ClickFunnels is a software as a service. Is it a service like you're a dentist or a chiropractor? Is it a service like your financial planner? Like it goes from there, right? And so for me, it's like, If you really want to look at like what businesses work best for sales funnels, it starts at the very beginning, right? It works for any business selling a product, any business selling a service, okay? Boom. Then go one level deeper. Okay, what types of products? Physical products, info products, supplements, plug in different types of products. It works very good at that tier as well. And then same services. You go one tier lower. Software as a service, service as a service, dentist, chiropractor, home cleaner, financial planner, like everything, right? Like that tier works as well. Now, the Yeah, and again, I think it works for all types of businesses, but it's going at, looking at it that way, like going to tier down and tier down. And maybe there's some version of like services, financial planner services, or financial, you know, I don't know, restaurant services, and then like this weird thing that doesn't work. And so maybe it gets, or it gets harder to work, you know, down deeper in the thing. But honestly, it doesn't. It gets easier actually the further deeper you get. So anyway, I think that just understanding that like the niches matter less as much as like the products and services. As far as like what niches work the best, it's niches that have people that are willing and able to spend money. Like that's the key, you guys understand. A lot of times people are willing to spend money, right? But they're not able. So like they're willing, like I remember I had a friend who launched a video game course to teenagers, and he had all these kids who were, they were willing to spend money, they wanted to buy that thing, but they were not able, they didn't have money, right? Well, the flip side of that, there's people who are able to buy something, but they're not willing. Okay, one of my friends, Joel Irway, he came, joined the Inner Circle, and he was selling coaching to, if I remember right, to like engineers. And engineers were able to buy, they had the money, but they were not willing to buy for coaching. They did not want to coach, right? Like they, it's just a different mindset of a person. So the best niches are niches where people are both willing and able to spend money. So what are those niches? Okay, well, go and look online. Like, where's commerce happening right now, right? And if you can't, if you're like, I can't find anyone selling something similar to this market, okay, it means that market's probably not willing or able to buy. If you're like, everybody's selling this market, it's like, ah, yeah, it's because they're willing, they're able to buy. Those are usually a better spot to start, not a worse spot. Okay, and that's a great question from Manuel.
As a business-to-business marketer, your needs are unique. B2B buying cycles are long, and your customers face incredibly complex decisions. Isn't it time you had a marketing platform built specifically for you? LinkedIn Ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers. LinkedIn Ads allows you to build the right relationships, drive results, and reach your customers in a respectful environment. You have direct access to and the ability to build relationships with decision makers, a billion members, 180 million senior level executives, and 10 million C-level executives. You'll be able to drive results with targeting and measurement tools, but specifically for B2B. In technology, LinkedIn generated 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend than other social media platforms. You'll work with partners who respect the B2B world that you operate in. 79% of B2B content marketers said that LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. Here at ClickFunnels, we also use LinkedIn ads to get more of our high-end dream customers we can't target anywhere else online. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. All you got to do is go to linkedin.com/clicks. C-L-I-C-K-S to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/clicks. Terms and conditions may apply. You've already done the hard part. You started your business, taken the leaps to believe in yourself and your vision. But if you want to make more money doing what you love, you need to grow. And to do that, you need a marketing strategy. There's a recent episode in a great new podcast called This is Small Business that talks all about this. You learn how to identify your target audience and where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're making the most out of your budget, and how to use data to set goals. This is Small Business is an original podcast from Amazon and answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your own business, looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to grow, This is Small Business has practical tips that you can use today. And this show covers all sorts of small business topics. Coming up this month, you'll have a chance to learn how to grow your email list from one of my favorite people on the planet, Jenna Kutcher. And you're also going to get step-by-step guidance for accelerating your business growth with Amy Porterfield, another one of my favorites. So make sure you go and follow the This Is Small Business podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss out on those fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This Is Small Business for sponsoring the show.
Next question from Twitter is from at Economy Spark. With everyone at home right now, is the cost of ads skyrocketing, or is it offset by other industries holding back in the moment? Okay, so I'd say it depends on the market. Most markets, like, as a whole, ad costs have dropped. It's like a big thunk. Okay, there's so much fear. There's tons of companies like, I'm afraid I'm going to cut my marketing, which is the dumbest thing. It's like, oh no, I scratched myself. Let me shut my heart off so I don't bleed out. Like, if you shut your heart off, you die. Like, you guys realize that, right? If you just like, yeah, that's what's happening when you cut your marketing budget. But that's the thing people default to, because they're like, I'm spending money here, I need to cut it out. And it's like, don't cut out the lifeblood of your company. Cut other things. In fact, there's a really, really, really good book. And I'm going to blank it out right now. I bought a copy for like everyone on my management team to start listening to. I think Stephen Larson was one that told me to buy it initially. But this is something. I'm looking at Amazon, so if I can find an order real quick while we're talking. But now is the time to be cutting like the unessential things. Don't be cutting the things that are like what you need. You know what I mean? Like, marketing is what you need. Blend your company is what you need. Okay, the book's called Double Your Profits in 6 Months or Less. 78 Ways to Cut Costs. Oh, here we go. 78 Ways to Cut Costs and Your Profits in 6 Months or Less. I'm on my phone and my iPad. Here, I'm going to take Instagram over there first. Instagram, here you go. That's what the book looks like. Highly recommend reading it. It'll give you 78 things to cut costs, and it's not cut your advertising budget, okay? So if you're like freaking out right now, go read that book. Here you go, Facebook over my iPad. There's the book. It's called 70 Double Your Profits. Go read that book. It'll show you the right things, cut not the wrong things. How to make sure you're not doing dumb things to your business, but you're doing good things. But ad costs have dropped. I talked to Hormozy. Hormozy said his ad costs are down 6x, 600 times cheaper than they were before. So now is definitely the time, I think, to start buying ads at a huge discount. So, all right. Don't cut the marketing. All right, so those are my questions on Twitter. Now we're moving over to the Book of Faces. So Facebook questions coming in. All right, so the first one's from Shauna Lorraine. Thank you, Shauna. So it says, what is your current personal KPIs in this new stay-at-home world so you can be the best version of yourself for others in your business? And how do you measure your proficiency, if that's the word, with your personal development KPIs? Okay, it's a good question. So in my business, like, we have certain KPIs we always focus on, right? And one of my KPIs is always like how many people every day are joining our list. We're always looking at how many people every day are joining ClickFunnels, right? Like, those are our KPIs that we're looking at, we're focusing. Right now, and partially it's because I'm in the middle of a book launch, one of my biggest KPIs is just like how many people can I talk to about the book right now, right? Like, that's my biggest thing. So right now I'm doing tons of podcast interviews, Facebook Lives. You've probably seen some of them. And if you've seen like two or three, it means for every two or three you see, I've done 10 other ones that you haven't been able to see, right? So that's my biggest thing. It's like, I got to get, a message out for as many people as possible, especially right now that everyone's at home. People who typically were too busy to do interviews are now sitting at home and like, sure. And I'm the same way. I couldn't do interviews for years. Like, last time I did any interviews was at the Expert Seekers book launch like 3 years ago. And right now I've got a little more time. So I'm doing tons more interviews and things like that. And so I think that's a big thing. My KPI is how many people can I get in front of every single day? If I can do five interviews and each interview's got 1,000 people, see the first day or 5,000, whatever the number is, that's kind of what I'm looking at personally for my own personal self. I also feel like for all of us right now who are leaders, who have a following, I think going live daily is so essential right now. People slip back so quickly into like the fear mindset, and it's like they need you to step up and talk to keep themselves out of fear, or else fear is going to freeze them up, like we talked about when we first began this party. So, all right, that's from Shauna. Thank you very much. All right, next Facebook question is from Richard Peter Harding. He says, starting an online business from scratch, what is the best advice for getting started and growing really, really fast? All right, the best advice, and I had one of my friends yesterday. He just potentially lost his job, and he's like, can I get on a call with you? So he got a call with me, and we started looking, and he's got a bunch of business ideas. I was like, the first thing is you got to figure out, like, one business. Us entrepreneurs, our problems, we try to figure out 5 or 10 or 12. Like, there's more opportunities we can handle. First one is what's the actual business you want to be in? And number two is, do you have access to the customers that you need? Okay? That's the thing. I used to always build companies where I'd build a product or service and then go try to find customers. And when I did it that way, I would have success maybe one out of, every 5 or 6 times. Now when I build a business, I go and I find the traffic source first. And if I can find it, then I go and build a company around it. Right. And so I figure out, like, what do I want to do? And then I would stop and I'd say, okay, let me go find the traffic sources. Like, where are they? Okay. And so I go and I go to the podcast director. I find every single podcast. Like, hey, can I get on a podcast to get in front of the people that someday would buy this thing I'm thinking about creating? Okay. And I make the list. And then immediately I'd start getting to know the podcast hosts. Then I go to Facebook. Who are all the people that have already congregated my dream customers? And can I find those people? If I can't find these people on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, podcasting, these different channels, I'm not going to build a business. I need to know that when this product or service is done, these are the things this is where the traffic's going to come from immediately. And that's what I'll be focusing on to make sure my business is successful right out of the gates. Which, by the way, not that I'm going to plug my book or anything, but if I was to plug my book, it's all we talk about here in Traffic Secrets. So I'm just putting it out there. It's free at trafficsecrets.com, but I don't want to talk about that right now. this is not about Traffic Secrets, but that's what I'd be doing. I'd be looking like, where are the customers at? Can I find those people and then build products or services that those customers actually want? One of the other big problems that we have as entrepreneurs is we create what we want. And that's not how it works. The market responds to figuring out you get paid based on figuring out what the market wants. And then, and that's the big secret, right? So it's like, I always tell people, like, there's two things you got to figure out when you go into a new market or you start a business. It's the what and the how. What are you selling? Not what you want to sell. What does the market want to buy? Like, what are you selling that the market wants to buy? And then how are you selling it? And the how is like, what's the funnel you're going to use? Like, is it a webinar? Is it a high ticket? Is it a phone call? Is it, like, the what and the how? And a lot of times people figure out like what to sell, but not how. Like, for example, I launched ClickFunnels. We knew what it was. We created it. So we knew what to sell, but I tried to sell it and it didn't work. Okay. Some of you guys have heard the story. The first funnel flopped, second funnel flopped, third, fourth, fifth, and the sixth funnel hit. The sixth funnel, I figured out the how. We had the what, But then we figure out the how, and boom, as soon as we figure out the how, for a ClickFunnels, went from zero to two comma club in a week. For most people, it's like, you know when you got the what and the how right, because when you do, your business, boom. And for most people, it's not going to be a week, but it goes fast. As soon as you figure out the what and the how, it explodes fast. And so that's the biggest thing you got to be figuring out right now. It's like, what does the market actually want? And then how do I sell it to that market? The what and the how? And I first got to figure out, like, where is the market at? So find those people, find the congregation. What do they actually want? And how am I going to sell it? When you got that out, boom, it explodes fast. Sometimes you got to create a lot of offers. Like, don't be scared. Like, oh, the first one didn't work. Yeah, I did a lot of versions of ClickFunnels before it took off. I did a lot of, I think 120 some odd funnels before the ClickFunnels funnel. Like, just different products, different services, trying to figure out, like, what is the thing people want? And each of them had different levels of success. Biggest thing is just putting out a lot of offers. And a lot of times you don't have to, like, your audience doesn't say yes to the offer right now, right? It's like, hey, I'm thinking about putting together a live virtual event. We're going to bring in like 30 speakers and we're going to do this thing. And like, I'm just curious, for those who follow me, would you be interested in something like that? If I put it together, would you jump on? Would you be willing to pay for something like that? And ask your audience. And if they come back and it's crickets and they say no, they'll be like, all right, never mind. In fact, this is cool. I heard Greg Davis, one of my old school buddies from the last 10 years, great marketer. And he posted something probably 2 or 3 weeks ago on his Facebook page. He said, a lot of people think that I have new offers every single week. He's like, I don't. I do. I post offers every week. Like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Hey, I'm putting together this. And he's like, the majority of them I never do, because nobody ever comes and they don't ever come and like actually buy the, like, they, nobody raises their hand and gives me money. So I don't ever do them. He's like, so why you think I'm doing much stuff? Like, you have no idea if I'm failing or I'm succeeding. I'm just putting it out there. And if the idea doesn't take, then I just leave it alone. And I try another idea. He's like, I'm only like 1 out of 10 of these things I'm putting out there do I ever actually create, because I'm waiting to find out what the market wants before I create it. Oh, Greg, very, very smart. All right. Next question from Facebook. This is from Shanna Smith Scott. And I have not actually pre-read these questions, so we could bump into one that could be a nightmare for me. So watch in case I crash and burn. All right, Shanna Smith Scott. Is it better to use OFAC to get already established? Oh, like, what's OFAC? One Funnel Away Challenge. Is it better to use One Funnel Away Challenge to get an already established but currently unsuccessful business to thrive, or to start a new business with a bang? Okay, so we got a lot of you guys know about the One Funnel Away Challenge, the 30-day challenge we have people go through to help figure out their first or the next funnel. So her question is like, is it better to use One Funnel Away Challenge for my existing business that's kind of struggling, or should I do a new business that's going to be brand new and kind of a shiny object? And the question is, depends. There are so many. Monica said 4,500 offers, or 4 or 5, I think is what I said. Anyway, sorry. Come back. All right. So for One Funnel Away Challenge, so the answer is depends. If you got a business and it's, I mean, like, if you think there's something there, if you're like, I just got to figure out I have the right product, but what's the how? I got the what, but what's the how? How am I going to actually sell it? If that's the thing that's keeping that business being successful, go through the OFA challenge, looking at through that lens, like, how am I going to sell this product? I got to figure out the right hooks, the right stories, the right offers, like all that stuff. Figure out the how and blow it up. If you're looking at business, you're like, this business is dead. Like, the chance of survival is almost nothing. I don't have the right what. So, I can figure it out, but I'm not that passionate about it. Then I would say, then start something new. Okay, so if you have the right what, like the right offer, the right thing people want, you just don't know how to sell it right, then yes, use the OFA challenge to amplify that. And if you're like, the what over here is just not working, nobody's buying it, then go through the OFA challenge, One Funnel Away Challenge, with a lens of like, I'm creating something new from scratch that I'm excited about, that I got energy that I'm passionate about. And if you're not a member of the One Funnel Away Challenge, we start one every 2 weeks, onefunnelaway.com, $100, best $100 you'll ever spend ever. Unless you're hungry, then that's probably better. But this would be the second best thing you spend $100 on. All right. Facebook question number 4 from Jason Green. How do you keep going knowing very little are listening to your message, even though you truly believe it's positive and important? Oh, good question, Jason. So how do you keep publishing when nobody's listening, even though you feel like your message is positive and important? So I was lucky. When I started, my first podcast was called the Marketing in Your Car podcast, which later became the Marketing Secrets podcast. It was Marketing in Your Car. And I did it because my business had just collapsed. I had no more customers. It was like the worst time to start a podcast, I thought. But I was like, I need to do something. So I started this podcast. I would do it while I was driving to the office and back. And I didn't know how to do a podcast initially, so we set it up through some like crappy little system that didn't track sales or stats or anything. We just like, set it up and started podcasting. And 3 years after I launched my podcast, I was going live at least 3 times a week for 3 years. Then finally, my business failure, like, turned around and we started having success again. And about that time is when we decided to shift it to the Marketing Secrets podcast. And so we shifted over to a new system, and the new system tracked ads and tracked downloads and stats. And as I moved it over, all of a sudden I saw how many people were downloading. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And I realized that, like, if I would have seen my stats the first 3 years of me publishing, guess what would have happened? I would have got depressed and I would have stopped. Luckily for me, I never saw the stats. I just kept going. And eventually, people found me. There's a quote in the Traffic Seekers book, not that I'm trying to plug it again, but if you ever have a chance to read it, it's in there. I quoted a blog post from Nathan Berry. And the blog post, the title was Endure Long Enough to Get Noticed. And he talked about how, like, a lot of times good TV shows or things like that are in season two or three before you see them, right? And he's like, why is that so? He said the reason is because there's so much content being published out there that that us as humans, we naturally wait for the best stuff to rise to the top. And so part of publishing, you know, there's two really big reasons why we're publishing. Number one is for you to find your voice and get more comfortable, right? That's why I can go live on this and talk for 4 hours and just be completely fine, because I've done this so many times. Like, I found my voice. I feel comfortable. I know my stories. I know, you know what I mean? Like, I found my voice. That's the first reason why you're doing it. The second reason is you're doing it long enough that your audience can actually find you, okay? And that might be 6 months, might be a year, might be 2 years. It doesn't matter. If you really care about your thing, it shouldn't matter. You're just talking because you love it. And just publishing is like part of it. You got to publish and promote it, right? You publish it and then share it on different places and try to get people. And like there's other things you should be doing to try to like boost that. But a big part of it is, number one, you're finding your voice. Number two, you're doing it long enough that people can find you. And so it's important to be consistent. So don't get discouraged. Like, don't get down at all. Like, I had 3 years of podcast episodes before anyone was probably even listening. And that's okay. Because now, guess what? They're listening. But it's because I was consistent for an extended long period of time. All right. Thank you, Jason. Great question. All right. I think, is this the last of my Facebook question? Oh, a couple more Facebook ones. Okay. Next one's from Leanne Johnson Wokely. I probably said that wrong. Sorry in advance. How to stay the course when it feels like everything around you is crumbling. I've been able to switch my business from brick and mortar to online virtually in a couple days, adding massive value. But how to manic panic and fear in clients? How to get them to not want to cancel due to financial fears? All right. Couple things. Number one, a lot of them are going to cancel due to financial fears. That's okay. Okay. It doesn't mean you should go cut your, you know, like, I see some of you are like, oh, my products are free now. I'm like, oh, why would you do that? Because now you just crippled yourself. And you crippled them. Now they're expecting freebies for the rest of their life. They're going to strike. They're not going to be successful as people, right? Like, when your kids try to learn to walk and they fall down, do you just like pick them up and be like, oh, no, like, you let them figure it out a little bit. I think that's part of it. The other part of it is, like, if you're not careful, you can destroy your own business by doing that, right? It's like the whole when you're in the airplane, you know, and the mask comes down, it's like, put your own mask on first so you don't die before you like save your friends, because you save your friends and then you both die, right? Like, you got to protect yourself as well. And so I see all these companies that are cutting their prices, making everything free. And it's like, oh, it's not the right strategy, you guys. It doesn't serve them and it doesn't serve you. Especially like right now with ClickFunnels, we've got 400 some odd employees all around the world. Everyone's working from home. And if I all of a sudden like cut my costs in half, guess what? I got to lay out half my staff, which means now I can't support the customers, which means like everything starts crumbling really, really quickly. Okay. And it's very important for you guys to stay the course and be okay. If you have to leave, that's okay. They'll leave. They'll come back when they're okay. But you gotta be okay with that. Like, that's not your problem. That's their problem. And, you can try to serve them. You can do things. You can, you know, like whatever you can do, but it's just important for you, like, to, you gotta be consistently, doing it. So that's a big part. The other thing about staying the course, and I shared this, 2 weeks ago when I did the very first Facebook Live, kind of talking about the coronavirus, and I'm going to share this story again. I've shared it so many times with my team and other people, but I share it because it's true, and hopefully this picture of this in your head will help inspire you. But think about Forrest Gump, right? The movie Forrest Gump, and hopefully you guys have watched it since I talked about it. I haven't watched it again yet, but I want to. But there's a scene in Forrest Gump where Forrest Gump, Lieutenant Dan, they're like the worst shrimpers ever, and they're losing to everybody. All these big, huge ships out there just destroying them, right? And some of you guys may have been in that situation the last few years. You're like, I'm looking around, and like, I'm a little dog in this big pond. Everyone else is beating me up. Everyone else's business is making more money, blah, 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 right? And then all of a sudden, the storm comes in, right? And what does Lieutenant Dan and Forrest Gump do? They go out on their boat, and they, in the middle of the storm, start going crazy, and they're partying, and they're jumping around, and they're having fun, and like, they're just doing this thing. And while everyone else pulls their boats off and like puts them on the dock, like, I'm not doing anything during the storm, I'm gonna wait till it's over, and they sit back and they wait, right? But because they're out in the middle of the storm, fighting with their boat and with their people and with everything to keep it alive, when the storm calms the seas, their boat's in the middle of the ocean still alive. You look around, and all the boats around the harbor, all the boats around the coastlines are destroyed, and then they're the only boat left. right? And you look at that, and what happens? In the movie, they become bubblegum shrimp factory, and they become billionaires and all this stuff. And like, while it's a cute little story for a movie, it's the reality of the situation, right? The people who can hang on, who are able to survive and stay the course during this time, are the ones that are going to win. Okay, and so it doesn't mean you may not be as profitable over the next 2 or 3 months or 6 months or who knows what that is. That's okay. Like right now is the time. That's why I said, go read the book, Double Your Profits in 6 months or Less. Like Everett should go read that book. It's got 78 ways to cut costs, increase your sales, and dramatically improve your bottom line. Like go read that book. You'll figure out what things to cut, and that way you can stay up here and you're not getting sucked under and die. You and your business are dying, but you're able to stay protected. You're doing that kind of stuff there. And then on the other side of it, now it's like you're stable and you're in a spot where now you can grow. These people that used to come that aren't able to come anymore, who are financially freaked out, like that's okay. Like let them be freaked out. Like wish them luck, have them go. And like look, when you're back, when you're able to come back and you feel good, then come back at that point. But don't freak out right now, right? We have a lot of people cancel ClickFunnels accounts, and like I hate that. But it's like it's okay. Like go get your affairs in order. Like there's things more important than that. And when you're done, we're gonna still be here. I want you to come back, and we'll be here to support you at that point as well. Okay. So anyway. Hope that helps, Leanne. I believe in you. Be brave. You can keep doing it. All right, next one from Facebook. Alec Jepson. Hey, Russ, my question is, how long should we try one funnel before pivoting and attempting another? I want to do everything I can, but I also don't want to waste my time. Hope that was very clear. Thanks for all you do. Okay, so Alec, good question. What a lot of people do is they put up a funnel, they try something that doesn't work, and they're like, ah, I'm out. I wish everybody had the new .com Secrets book. I added a chapter at the end called Funnel Audibles. And it's all about this concept of like most funnels fail the first time, even for mine. Okay, it's okay to understand that. So you build the funnel out there, and then you drive some traffic. Say you spend $1,000 in traffic or $500 in traffic, and you go and you see what happens, right? You let it go through the whole thing. And what's going to happen is if you do that, you drive a bunch of traffic, a bunch of stuff happens. At the end of it, hopefully you made your $500 back. My goal is always that. I always look at like if I was to sell one customer something. If I'm testing a webinar funnel, right? So let's say I have a webinar funnel, I'm spending $1,000 or the product's $1,000. I'm gonna invest $1,000 in ads because I know if I sell one product, I break even, right? So I spend $1,000 in ads, they go through, and hopefully one person bought and broke even. If so, cool, now I got a funnel that can work. Okay. If I spend $1,000 ads and nobody buys, and it's like, the funnel might not be good. But then I can step back and look at the numbers. Okay. How much should I spend per click? How much should I spend when someone comes to the landing page? You know, how much should I spend per lead? How much should I spend per webinar registered? Like I'm looking at all the numbers and along the funnel, right? And whenever someone tells me like, oh, my funnel didn't work, I'm like, what are the numbers? Like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, well, that's why it didn't work. You don't know your numbers. Like when I ask that question, like what were your numbers? You should be able to say, okay, well, I spent $1,000 in ads. From that, I was spending $3 per click. From $1,000 ads, I got 180 opt-in. So I was paying, what's that? $8 an opt-in or whatever. And then from there we had 12% showed up or 18% showed up. So it cost me whatever per show up. And then we sold one at the end, right? So if you told me those numbers, I'd look at that and say, okay, cool. $3 per click. Is that good or bad? Okay, boom. And then how much per opt-in? How much per lead? How much did you spend? And you look at those numbers and I can look at that funnel and be like, oh, well, the ad cost was good. The landing page cost was good. The show up rate was really low. Right? So how do we fix that? How do we get more people to show up? Or it's like this, you know, the ad, you're spending way too much on clicks, so the ad sucks, right? Or the ad was awesome, but nobody's opting in. Like we just know which page to fix. So I usually go through 3 or 4 different iterations that way. I'm looking at the numbers, seeing which piece wasn't working, and then make the tweaks and changes, try again. And if within 3 or 4 times it's not working, I'm like, this must not be the right offer. There's something wrong that's just not here yet. Let me try a different offer. Let me try a different thing. Okay? And so, I usually spend 3 or 4 times testing a funnel with different traffic sources and seeing first. So hopefully that helps. Don't be afraid. We have this two-headed thing with entrepreneurship, right? It's like I don't quit. But it's like, but if something's not working, you should quit. Like not the business, but the project or the funnel, right? I had a friend when I got started. He had been in the business for 5 years. He'd written an ebook. And he was trying to sell it, and nobody was buying it. And he was like 5 years in, and he still was trying so hard. Nobody was buying it. I remember asking him, I'm like, why don't you create a different product, different service? He's like, I spent so much time on this project. I can't abandon it now. And I was like, oh. You're gonna spend another 5 years. It's not a good offer. It's not a good product. Nobody wants it, dude. I'm so sorry. You have to be able to be honest. Like, does the market actually want this thing? Okay, we talked about it a little earlier. If you're coming in now, make sure you watch this whole video. But we talked about figuring out the what and the how. Like what does the market actually want? It's not what do you want to create. What does the market actually want? And if you're doing some funnels and driving some traffic and nobody's buying, then the market probably doesn't want that thing. You got to create something different. Okay. All right. Okay, next question, Facebook, from Gabriel Closer. Beginner here, would love to know how to target the correct audience for a product I'm about to launch. Well, you should definitely step in one, not that I'm pitching this or anything, or in the middle of a book launch, but there's this really big book called Traffic Secrets that teaches you how to do that. You can get for free at trafficsecrets.com, discover shipping, but we'll talk about that a different day, because today we're talking about these other things. So the biggest thing is that should have been a question, again, I talked about this earlier, that should have been a question you asked before you said, how do I find the right audience for a product I'm about to launch? You did it out of order. The order needs to be, I need to find the audience first and figure out what they want and create a product for them. Okay, so if you listen back to what I talked about, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes ago or so, that's what I'd be looking at is what is the, like where's the audience first? Okay, so you figure that out, like, you got to figure out, again, step one, traffic seekers, who's my dream customer? Question number two is, like, where are they actually congregating? I need to go find those people, right? So I figure out who they are, where are they congregating, and then I go to those congregations and see, like, what are the things they're complaining about? What are the problems they have? What are the frustrations? Like, how can I serve these people, right? And that's how you come up with your product ideas. It's like looking at what, like, the congregations of your dream customers, what are their fears, their complaints, their problems, the things they need more help with, right? Like, we need to build ClickFunnels because I'm in tons of entrepreneurial groups and everyone's frustrated about how hard it was to build a funnel. I'm like, oh, well, we should just build software that makes funnels. Like, boom, idea was handed to me on a silver platter. I'm not a genius. People are like, Russell, you're so smart. No, not that smart. I just listened really, really well, right? Like when I wrote the dot-com seekers book, right, it's because we had ClickFunnels and nobody knew how to, like, could not understand the concept of funnels. So I'm like, okay, let me write a book on that. So I wrote a book. Boom, called Dotcom Secrets. It showed my process for funnels. Okay, and then I listened to the market, and the market was struggling. And like, these funnels are good, but none of my funnels are converting. I'm buying ads, they're not making money. Why not? I'm looking at the funnels like, well, it's because you suck at telling your story. You don't know how to tell a message. You don't know how to get somebody. So I was like, hey, book number two. Like, they want to learn how to tell a story. Let me write the second book, Expert Secrets, how to tell their story inside their funnels. That was book number two. And then I listened. And people are like, man, my funnels are good, and things are working. I just wish I could grow, but I can't scale because I don't know how to get traffic. Like, oh, you don't know how to get traffic? Oh, well, I know how to get traffic. Let me write a book about it. Right? It's not me reinventing the wheel. I'm not a genius. I'm like, oh, Russell's so smart. He's so good. No, none of that. I just listen. Who's my dream customer? Where are they congregating? And I insert myself in these congregations and I listen. Right? I listen to their podcasts. I'm in the Facebook groups. I'm in the blogs. I'm listening to find out exactly what they want. Ryan said, have you ever read Breakthrough Advertising, Russell? Psh, please. I've got that thing memorized. Come on. I'm an OG. I've been doing this thing for 18 years. If they are dead and they talked about marketing anytime in their life, I've read that book and then memorized it. So, yes. All right. Great question. All right. Next one from Shanna Smith Scott. Is it better to use OFA? Oh. That question was asked twice, so we're good there. All right. We're moving on to the Instagram. Instagram, we got some questions from you. I've got a couple. So, Instagram number one from at Luis DiCarmejo. Probably pronounced that wrong. Sorry in advance. What are some tools you use to find your dream customers? So my big secret is any market that I enter into, I am already, like, I am the dream customer, right? So I look at, like, if I'm going to build a business, it's like, what are the things I'm already passionate about, right? So I know for me, I'm passionate about marketing, right? So I'm already in all the marketing circles, right? I'm already reading marketing blogs and I'm listening to the podcast. I'm already there because, like, it's a market I'm passionate about, right? I'm into biohacking. So I listen to all the biohacking podcasts. I'm in their Facebook groups. I'm in the thing, like if I was to create a business, like, I'm already, like, I am one of my dream customers. I'm already in that market. I would know exactly what those people need because I'm one of those people. And so the question is, like, what are the tools you use to find your dream customers? It's me. Where am I at? Like, where do I go right now? Right, that's the big part. This is something we used to do back in the day that I shared on an interview this week and people freaked out about. I don't know if this is still around, but there used to be a site called, I'm sure it's still around, it's called Stumbled Upon. And I used to sit in my bed at night, and in Stumbled Upon, you can put in keywords of the stuff that you're interested in, and you click the button called Stumbled, and it would find different sites that you might be interested in. And so that's how I would find, like, here, like, where are the sites that my dream customers are on? I'd sit in my bed and just click on the Stumble button. It's like, oh, there's a blog. I've never seen this blog before. Let me follow it. Oh, there's someone's email list. And I kept clicking through. I just find these random sites that had to do with my topic. And from there, I met a ton of my dream partners from that. So it's just kind of a cool little sneaky thing you can use to go find where your customers are hiding at. Next Instagram question from Brandon R. Wall. I was going to start a business, but then the economy crashed. Can I still be profitable out of the gate, or should I wait for when people are more likely to spend money? Oh, Brandon, more people spent money last 2 weeks than the past 2 years combined. They are buying stuff. They're buying different things, though, right? Perry Belcher, one of my buddies, he owns Survival Life. Okay, this is the busiest his business has ever been. Okay, the toilet paper people, the hand sanitizer, like, there's money there. It's understanding, like, what are people buying now? Not like, I'm going to wait for people to buy again. Like, no, people are still buying. Just understand that. What are they buying? That's where you insert yourself. What are they buying? Okay, don't confuse, don't believe the misconception that they're not buying right now. They are. Now is the best time to start a business. People are spending, and they're not spending, like right now they're hoarding their money because they're not spending it on, I'm going to movies or restaurants, they've got money and they're just blowing it online. Okay, our business is up right now over the last 2 weeks. A lot of businesses are up over the last 2 weeks. Okay, so now is the perfect time. Just make sure you pick a business, like buy what people, or sell what people are buying, right? Find what people are buying and you sell that. That's the big secret. Find what people are buying and sell that. Next one is from at Reed Pretty. How do you present offers in a time when everyone is financially impacted? Great question. All right, how do you create offers? Or how do you present offers the right way? I talked about this in a couple of Facebook Lives and stuff this week, but I'll share it here as well. In the first secret of Traffic Seekers book, I talk about when you find your dream customer, you have to understand that people are going to come to you because they're moving in one of two directions, right? They're either coming to you because they're trying to move towards pleasure or they're trying to move away from pain, okay? And what's interesting is over the last 8 to 10 years, we've been in a great economic times. So most people bought your products or services because they were interested in moving towards pleasure, right? So they bought because they wanted to get six-pack abs, they wanted to get a nice house, a nice car, they wanted to be rich, they wanted to, whatever the product service you sold, they were trying to buy your product or service because it was going to move them towards pleasure, okay? 2 or 3 weeks ago, everything shifted where everyone got into a state of pain, right? And the companies that are going to succeed are the ones who look at that and say, okay, right now everyone's in a state of pain. How do I transition my product, my service, instead of being you know, something that moves you towards pleasure, but it gets you out of pain. The product doesn't have to change, but the marketing of the product does change. Does that make sense? Like your goal is to shift so you can pull people and get them out of pain. I want you guys to understand that. Like that's the big secret. That's the big key. I was talking to Dean Graziosi about this. Dean, you know, is an amazing guy. During the last recession, he was he had an infomercial to teach people how to make money in real estate. And Dean at the time was like one of like 50 people who had real estate infomercials. And then 2008 hit, boom, market crashes, boom, no one's buying houses anymore. And they went from 50 infomercial dudes to 40, 30, 10, 12, boom, and all of a sudden there was just one. And his name was Dean. And Dean, for the next like 3 years, ran infomercials successfully for 3 years. And everyone else was like, infomercials don't work anymore. No one's buying real estate. The market's crashed. Like, yet Dean, not only did he keep doing it, he succeeded and he thrived. He had his best years during this whole crash. And I asked him, I was like, what's the difference? Like, how come everyone else just got destroyed and you didn't? He said, because every other infomercial was telling people, was selling them towards pleasure. He's like, I changed my infomercial. I made a new one. And my infomercial was showing how my product, my service is a life preserver in times of economic uncertainty. I help people get out of pain. Boom. Same product, different marketing message. 49 other people didn't get it, and they got destroyed and demolished, and Dean survived and thrived. Okay, so understand that, like, how did the product or service that you sell, can you repackage it in a way where it's getting people out of pain as opposed to moving them towards pleasure? And in about 2 years from now, when the economy rebounds, things shift back like they always do, that's when you transition your message again. Now people are out of pain. Now how do I transition to move them towards pleasure? And that's when you'll see the huge lifts in growth in your companies. All right, that's it from Instagram. You guys ready? We're moving over to LinkedIn. Here we go. LinkedIn, Mike Wolpert. I've been concentrating on what's next, living in the moment, and long-range vision. I've been concentrating on what's next, living in the moment, and long-range vision aren't so useful right now. What can we do next to get ready for the recovery and the emerging new world of business? We all kind of need to do something. Love to hear your take on that. All right, Mike, great question. I was listening to Simon Sinek this morning talk to his team about stuff, and the video's been kind of floating around, so you can probably find it online. But it was interesting. He was talking to his team, and he's like, this isn't new. He's like, this stuff happens all the time. Now, obviously, the corona thing was faster than we thought and more severe than we thought, but this happens all the time, right, where things get demolished. And we start understanding it's not that money disappears. I think there's this false conception, like, oh, the money's gone. We're all screwed. It's like, no. Money's still there, right? In fact, there's going to be more. I think the government's dumping like $2 trillion. I don't watch the news, but I heard $2 trillion in the economy. So the more money's getting dumped into here, right? So there's money. It's not disappearing. The money's there. You have to understand we're in a time of wealth transfer, right? Where wealth is going to be transferring to people, different people. And so those who understand that are going to be able to get that money transferred to them, and those who don't are going to lose their money, and it's going to be transferred away from them. And so I think it's still planning for the long term. It's not that we need to stop thinking about what's next and plan for long, you know, all those kind of things, but it's understanding, like right now we're in the greatest wealth transfer probably of all time. More people will become financially hugely rich during the next couple of years than ever before in history, right? You look at all the biggest companies that are the biggest companies today, the brands today, they came out during the Great Depression. The big tech companies we all know about today all came out during the last recession, right? Like, this is the time to be growing. This is the best time to be planning and strategizing. What's next? How can I serve people right now? But you've got to shift. It's not like, how do I do the thing I did before better? The shift is in, what is the new thing I'm going to be doing? How do I serve people in this new world? Because the world's changed and it's not going back, right? We literally were about to close on an office space. I think they were trying to sell to us for like, I don't know, $15 to $20 a square feet. And the guy came back last week and said, I'll give it to you for $5 a square feet. And we're like, nope, not worth it, right? Like a lot of businesses are done. Like now we're like, we work from home. This is actually great. I'm like, why do we have all these offices? I can cut, you know, $1 million a year off my budget by getting rid of all the offices because I don't need it now. Like, we can do these things, right? Like, it's not how do we get back to where things were. It's like looking at how the world shifted. Sweet. Now, how do I prepare myself? How do I create products and businesses in this new economy, right? And that's the shift we got to start making. Next from LinkedIn is from Joel. Said, I'm a student graduating May 2nd. No ceremony anymore. I haven't been able to find any jobs for then. All of my leads have dried up, so it looks like I'm going to be starting my own business. Congratulations. This is great for you. I have a model set. I've been building and optimizing LinkedIn profiles for individuals and digital job search. This is something I've done as a freelancer for a while, but I haven't taken full-time before. All right. I've got good news for you guys. Okay. A lot of you guys could have been way more successful, but the problem was you were super comfortable. Yep, I just said it. You've been really comfortable. You had a good job. You're like, and you guys read the book Good to Great. If not, he starts the book saying the good is the enemy to great. Most people don't have a great marriage because they got a good marriage. Most people don't have a great business because they got a good business. Most people don't have a great life because they got a good life. Right? And I think for the last decade, for a lot of you guys, it's been good. And so you're like, And right now, you just got good taken away from you. Right? And now it's like, you got to do something. Like the pain just got amplified. Like you have pressure. You got leverage now to do something amazing. And as crappy as it is for a lot of people, I started this whole thing talking about bankruptcy. A lot of people are going to go through bankruptcy. It sucks. But guess what? It's going to give you enough pain now, enough leverage to actually create something. Okay? Because good just got taken away. And if you want to create something great, now you got leverage to actually do it. So for you, congratulations, Joel. I'm pumped for you, man. I'm so glad that your job's all dried. Because guess what? You got a job. You're set up the next 30 years of your life miserable doing something to somebody else. And now you got an opportunity not to do something good, but do something great. And now is the best time in the world. Like sharpen your saw, sharpen your skill set. Doing LinkedIn pages for people is amazing. Become the best in the freaking world of that. Become the, like, so anybody on planet Earth is like, I need a LinkedIn page. Like, well, you got to hire Joel. He's the best in the world. Like, that's what you got to be looking at. Don't be like, I want to be good at this. I want to be like, no, become great. This is your window. This is your chance. Okay. You have been given such a huge gift that you don't even know right now. And you're freaking out thinking it's a curse, but it is not. It is a gift for all of us who are listening. For anybody who will pick it up, it is a gift. And they say in the scriptures, many are called and few are chosen, right? We've all been called. You've all heard of it, but very few are chosen. Why are they not chosen? Because they don't pick it up. So my challenge to you guys all, to Joel, but for everybody's listening, is it's time to pick it up. Okay, you've been too comfortable for too long. This is the greatest thing that could happen to you. It's forcing you to get leverage on yourself. Forcing you to finally read the book, to finally figure out ClickFunnels. It's been insane. The last 2 weeks, we used to get 15,000 people a day signing into ClickFunnels. Right now, we're over 30,000 people a day. Twice as many people are logging in every day. Now, I'm like, all right, I've had this account for years. I've been paying the bills. I haven't logged in yet. And like, now I gotta finally log in, right? Okay, now they got some leverage. They got some pain. And so the best thing for entrepreneurs is pain. We turn up that pain, it gets us to work. So you've been comfortable too long. So look at this as a blessing, because it is. All right. Let's see. Where are we at? Wait, is that the end? What? Did I do all of them? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Holy moly, we did it, you guys. How do you guys like our Q&A today? Was that fun? All right, I want to do something. You guys are cool if I do this real quick. I started with this quote, but I want to read it one more time just because I think I just want to end cap it with this. I've read this like 10 times. I've read it twice to you guys right now. I'm going to read it one more time, and then we're going to wrap for the day. Does that sound cool? All right, so again, this is a quote from C.S. Lewis in 1948. He was talking about the A-bomb. I'm going to replace A-bomb with coronavirus. And this is my closing thoughts for you guys. I want you to hear it. I want you to feel it. I want you guys to understand it. And then I want to break free from all the fear and start moving forward. If you need more of this, you guys, start back at the very beginning. I shared some stuff at the very beginning talking about looking at the worst-case scenario, understanding it, becoming okay with it. All the things you need to break your fear so you can move forward. If you missed it, start back over when we get done off the live and go listen to that part again because it'll help you. But this is a quote from C.S. Lewis during the 1948, in the middle of the atom bomb scare where everyone's freaked out and everyone's frozen at homes, not leaving because they don't want to get blown up by an atom bomb. And this is what the man, C.S. Lewis, said. I'm going to replace atom bomb with coronavirus so that it's more applicable to all of us. I'm going to liken this to you so you understand it for yourself. In one way, we think a great deal too much of the coronavirus. How are we supposed to live in a viral age? I'm tempted to say, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or as you would have lived in the Viking age when the raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night, or indeed as you already live in an age of cancer, an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railroad accidents, an age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Let me say that again. Do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom have... you love were already sentenced to death before the coronavirus was ever invented, and quite a high percentage of us are going to die in unpleasant ways. We had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors, anesthetics. But we have that still. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances, in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we're going to be destroyed by the coronavirus, let that virus come. When it comes, find us doing sensible and human things, praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting with our friends over a pint and a game of darts, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about the virus. They may break our bodies, microbe can do that, but they will not dominate our minds. Oh, so good. C.S. Lewis, you are the man. Anyway, thanks you guys. I appreciate it. Hopefully this helped today. I had a good time. If you missed anything, definitely start back at the beginning. I talked at the very beginning about some stuff I think is really powerful about understanding the worst case scenario, becoming okay with it, so it'll unlock the fear so you can move forward. Because some of you guys right now are locked in fear. And if we don't break that, you're going to crumble underneath the pressure of it. Okay, it's not a time to be fearful. It's time to be okay with the worst case scenario. Look it in the face. Be like, I'm in. Let's go. And then start running. Again, if you missed that, when this video ends, you can go back to the very beginning, push play, and start going through it. Thanks you guys again for hanging out today. I appreciate you all. I'm going to go play with my kids. We're going to go do some fun stuff for the next 25 hours till they pass out, which I'm excited for. I got the energy for it. So thanks you guys. I appreciate you all, and have an amazing weekend. Bye, everybody. Hey, everybody. This is Russell again. And really quick, I wanted to invite you to join arguably the best thing that we've ever put out inside the ClickFunnels community. And it is a challenge we call the One Funnel Away Challenge. You know, everyone in their business, in their life, they're one funnel away from something. Some of you guys are one funnel away from quitting your job. Some of you guys are one funnel away from getting more impact. Some of you guys are a funnel away from growing your company to the next level. And so we created this challenge to help you to create and launch your first or your next funnel. No matter where you are in your business, this challenge is going to help you. It's going to help you understand the strategy, help you understand the tactics, help you understand all the things you need to be successful with your funnel. So what I recommend you do right now is stop everything, pause this audio, go online and go to onefunnelaway.com. That's onefunnelaway.com and join the next challenge. There's a challenge starting in the next few days, so go get started right now. Onefunnelaway.com.